The Boston Celtics score 149 points in a blowout win over the Brooklyn Nets, and I'm going to talk about it here on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am their Boston Celtics beat reporter, here to talk about a 149-115 shellacking, drubbing, what word do you want to use? Beatdown, ass-kicking of the Brooklyn Nets. This program is brought to you by Rock Auto, brought to you by an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. The show today, segment one, positives. There are plenty of those. Segment two, negatives. There are a couple, you know, there's still a couple of things that didn't go particularly well, but mostly positives here in this one. And in segment three, I'm going to wait till segment three to talk about Robert Williams because he's such an interesting guy, an interesting story today. So that's going to be the layout of the show. Before we get all to all of that, I want to remind everybody to subscribe if you're a first-time listener. If you're a long-time listener and you haven't done the five-star rating, good written review, I'd really appreciate that. And also, I have a book. They let me write a book. It's called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the C's. It is now available for pre-order. If you want to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or the publisher directly, Roman and Littlefield, it's R-O-W-M-A-N, Roman.com. Search for my name, search for the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's a fun little book. It's my own debate with myself over the best two players at each position, two wild cards, coaches, and a bunch of people that I wish I could have voted for. So check out my book. My book. It's just cool for me to say. I have a book, and you should buy it. Available for pre-order now. It comes out in December. Okay, let's get to the positives. Of this game. Jaylen Brown is one of the big positives of this game. One of the big positives of the bubble so far. 21 points on 7 of 13 shooting to lead the Celtics. 5 of 9 from 3, 2 of 3 from the line. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. Jaylen is, first of all, 5 of 9 from 3 is 55.5%. He's just, when he's feeling it, the confidence that he has, it just oozes out of him. He's playing with a significant amount of confidence and has been really the Celtics' best overall player in the bubble so far. Still, Jason Tatum has been very good in stretches, but Tatum has had like that one really bad game and has still stretches in games where I just think right now that Jaylen has been a little bit better. Not that it matters, not that we're ranking guys. Gordon Hayward has also been very good. And in this game, Tatum had 19, Gordon had 18. But it was really Jaylen Brown for long stretches that the attacking early and then the threes, the shooting those threes with confidence, that's Jaylen has been a nice revelation. Now, I don't want to say revelation. That's the wrong word to use. He's been. I guess if you want to use that word, it's got to be all season long, right? That we didn't expect him to be doing stuff like taking dribble handoffs and rising up and drawing contact and hitting threes. Like that's, but just Jaylen Brown, positive, bubble positive for Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum also had stretches, especially in the third quarter. Where second quarter, third quarter, where he just was unstoppable and was kind of playing. He had one of those streaks where, like back in February, he finished 7 of 11, 5 of 8 from 3, 19 points in 18 and a half minutes. He was just super, super efficient. He did have the three turnovers A lot of turnovers just in general. But Tatum is a positive. Although Tatum had this hilarious possession where he lost the ball twice and Jared Allen was guarding him. And he just said, you know what? I'm just going to rise up and hit this three. And it was really a funny moment because he really was trying to get past Jared Allen, but he just gave up. So I'm just going to hit this shot over you. And he switched specifically onto Jared Allen multiple times. And he kept hitting his step backs, his sidestep shots, which Jared Allen wasn't giving up ground. He's a big enough guy. He was challenging the shots. It's just when Tatum's got it going like that, there's nothing you can do to stop Jason Tatum. That's got to be frustrating as hell. I don't know why I can't speak tonight. Frustrating as hell for a defender who's playing up on him and knows what Tatum's going to do, yet Tatum does it anyway. That's the Jason Tatum experience. The length, the ability to create that space and get a shot off without being bothered even by a decent contest. So we saw some of that from Tatum. Now, early on, Tatum did get into foul trouble, so Romeo Langford got called in. And Romeo Langford things blew up when Romeo Langford was in the game. Romeo was a big positive. Romeo, in his first 9 minutes, was a plus 22. And not that we make a big deal of in-game plus minus, single game plus minus, but plus 22 in 9 minutes. He came in and was defending and was just changing the game. I have a theory that when Romeo and some of the other guys, other bench guys came in, they're fighting for minutes. So some of the things that the starters might be guilty of, taking plays off, not giving full effort all the time, these bench guys are not going to do that because they're dying for minutes. Romeo Langford wants to keep playing. He wants to get these minutes. So he's going to play just a little bit harder, I think, than some of these other guys in this situation. And some of the other bench guys are going to come in and play with just a little bit more energy. That second quarter, when it was the bench guys and Gordon Hayward, that little run of the bench guys and Gordon Hayward was awesome because it was pretty clear on offense that this was going to be very Utah Hayward. And Hayward was cooking. He was aggressive. That stretch there was very Utah Hayward, coming off of picks, going downhill, pulling up for shots, stepping back, taking threes. I mean, it was beautiful. That's kind of like the Hayward that we were always expecting from day one. And then on the other side, everyone was connected. The rotations were good. Romeo, like I said, Romeo was doing some really good things defending, getting in front of Caris LeVert on a drive and forcing LeVert to turn it over, dribbling off his foot. That's like solid defense. Nice, square, sliding his feet. Really good stuff from Romeo Langford. Now, a lot of this stuff comes with the caveat of, well, it was the Brooklyn Nets. Now, but it was also Caris LeVert. And LeVert, we saw him drop 50 on the Celtics. He's a potent scorer. He can get to the rim. So Romeo defending LeVert and defending other guys well is something notable. Is that going to turn into playoff minutes? I don't know, but it's something notable. And the more he comes in and plays, the more you see the potential of what he can do. He's going to nose for the ball. He can get to the rim. He's got length. He's active. I really like where he is. I don't know if that's going to translate to anything this postseason, but you start to see like, okay, I understand why that pick was made. Another big positive, and I'll end the positives on this. I'll get some more maybe later, but the third quarter start was fantastic. Really might have been my favorite part of this game because the Celtics went into the half with a very big lead. I don't know if it was 20, but they could have come out comfortable. It was the Nets. It was no big deal. You could kind of coast and not worry about it. But they came out in that third quarter, and maybe that collapse against Brooklyn earlier this season was something that they knew could happen. But they came out in that third quarter and just laid the hammer down. And that was where Tatum had that crazy possession. That's where they were really moving the ball. Jaylen Brown had this awesome interior pass to Daniel Tice, which I love interior passes to Daniel Tice. And any interior passing is just my favorite thing. And then Jason Tatum had a nice, he wanted to shoot. He was driving right. He got double teamed and whipped this like, just put the ball out right-handed, boom, bounce past the Daniel Tice for a dunk there. Making the right reads, making the right plays. It was spectacular. A spectacular against a bad opponent. We just saw this bad opponent beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And I know it was the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis and without Middleton in the second half, but still beat the Milwaukee Bucks. And we're beating the Milwaukee Bucks before those guys sat. So still a dangerous team. Any NBA team is dangerous if you don't take them seriously enough. So the Celtics not relaxing against the poor opponent, coming out, laying the hammer down, ending any possible thoughts of a comeback right there, right away, out of the half, and that was it. End of story. So very positive there. Celtics needed a game like this. What you need is rockauto.com if you need anything for your car. Rockauto.com is going to eliminate all of that annoying standing around waiting for the guy at the chain store, that brick and mortar chain auto parts store, to type whatever he's typing into his computer and then give you the part that you're not really even sure that you're looking for. No, you just stay at home, go to rockauto.com, enter that information yourself, and you're guaranteed to get the part that you want, and it's going to come at a price that is much lower. You go for that part at an auto chain, auto parts chain store, you're going to spend like 30 to 50, maybe even 100% more for the exact same thing. Don't even bother going to the dealership. Chain stores have a different price for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Did you know that? They do. Rock Auto does not. Rock Auto's prices are the same for everybody. Reliably low, they do not change based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. Did you know that happens with car parts? They do. Not at rockauto.com. There's no membership. There's no login. You just go, type in what you need, find what you need, get what you need, delivered to your door at a low price that's the same for everybody. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. It doesn't matter how complicated or how simple. They have got it all, even down to motor oil, new carpet, all of that stuff. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can, wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Segment two is negatives. I don't have many negatives, although I will say that there were times early on where Joe Harris was beating them off the dribble, and that was about as infuriating as anything I've seen in the bubble so far from the Celtics. You cannot let Joe Harris beat you off the dribble. You just can't do that. He's not good enough to be attacking and getting past the level of perimeter defenders the Celtics have in Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward. He cannot be getting past anybody. Okay, it might happen once. All right, maybe you're on your heels. Maybe something happened. You whatever. Okay, it might happen once. Not multiple times. That was a negative. And even in this blowout, a 149-115 blowout, can't forget that happened early on. And Caris LeVert, for that matter, was still getting, throughout the first half, still kind of getting everywhere he wanted to go. But when he got there, there wasn't much that he could do. The Celtics did a good job recovering, but they need to be better at preventing that at all. And Brad Stevens said it in after the last game, after the loss, that he said, if you let the ball get down low and get into the paint like they did against Miami, they're toast. You got nothing. You can't let the ball get into the paint. The Celtics defense is built to build this wall, and they did it. Chris Grenham tweeted it out, and I retweeted it. So they are capable of rotating, defending, sliding their feet, helping each other, playing on that so-called string where one guy moves, the other guy moves in concert with him. And the whole point of the Celtics defense, the whole point of the way this team is constructed, is to have a bunch of similarly sized, similarly talented, similarly athletic players that can switch and prevent that dribble penetration. That when you turn a corner, you're at one point you're being guarded by Jaylen Brown, then you set a pick, and next you're being guarded by Jason Tatum. As soon as you turn the corner, there's another big green jersey and those numbers staring you in the face, and you can't get there. And the Celtics, if they're not taking advantage of that, if they're not executing that defense, and the ball is getting into the teeth of the defense, and someone like Joe Harris is doing that, then the Celtics are going to be in trouble. The Brooklyn Nets on a back-to-back are just not good enough. They had the momentum against Milwaukee. It worked against Milwaukee. That's great. That was a nice, I think there was a combination of things. I think Milwaukee might not have taken them very seriously. And then once Giannis sat down and they never really had that star, and it was just basically Milwaukee's bench against a hyped up Brooklyn team, I think they took advantage, Brooklyn did. But even in this game where they were kind of knocked on their asses early, they still got some of these things that the Celtics don't want to be giving up. And against the better team, if they do some of the things they did early against Brooklyn on Friday against Toronto, they're going to get cooked, because it's a little bit different against the Toronto Raptors. They're facing a little bit different challenge. So that is, if I'm looking at one big negative, it's that they're still not tight enough on defense. The best defensive effort, I think, came from the bench, and it did come from the starters in spurts, and especially in that third quarter, I think they sensed that if they shut this thing down, they could sit and be done with the game. But that's all effort. That's all a choice. We'll see what they do. They have to ramp that up. The other negative I have is just Jason Tatum's handles, which I don't know if the ball was slippery, but just throughout the bubble, as good as Jason Tatum has been, and he's had some of these stretches where he's basically shooting like he was today. He was shooting lights out like he was earlier this season. But his handle is a little too sloppy. And he had cleaned that up in February, March. And I'd like to see him kind of get that a little bit more under control. The other stuff for Tatum, I mean, he's obviously going to hit the tough shots. He's obviously going to get to the spots that he wants. But if he's not, if that handle isn't tighter, if he can't get a grip on that ball, then we're going to see a few too many turnovers. And that, you know, when he makes that spin move, I tweeted out about that spin move. When he makes these moves in the middle of the lane and he can't hold on to the ball, those are live ball turnovers and the ball goes the other way. And again, against good teams, that's going to turn into layups. Even though they might not have against Brooklyn, they will against other teams. So, minor thing for Tatum, but not that minor, because he needs to clean that up a little bit. Those are my negatives. Not many there. Robert Williams is a positive and a negative. A little bit of an interesting conversation, I think, with Robert Williams. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. In some ways, Robert Williams had the best game of his Celtics career. Career high 18 points, 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, 7 of 7 shooting. 5 of them were dunks, 4 of them were alley-oops. He hit the only shot that he really, he had a top-of-the-key jumper, his last shot there. 4-4 from the line. A lot of good things from Robert Williams, but also a lot of not-so-good things from Robert Williams. And he is, I am going to be, like, I am hypercritical of Robert Williams because I think he can be exactly what the Celtics need. But, and it's not for lack of desire or effort. I've said this on the podcast before. I think he's the most negatively impacted Celtic by the hiatus. That he, in fact, over the past 2 years, his rookie and now sophomore year, he's kind of been screwed just by sheer bad luck. That last year, the injuries to Aaron Baines and Al Horford kept him in Boston when he should have been in Maine, learning the fundamentals and hammering those fundamentals home. Then this year, and I started out this season saying, hey, if you need to send him to Maine, do it, because he needs to play. He needs to play 30-plus minutes a game. He needs to learn the fundamentals. He needs to get those fundamentals hammered into his head. So he didn't go. He stayed in Boston, which is fine. As long as he was getting minutes, I was fine. Then he gets hurt, and he misses 3 months. So just the type of injury that keeps him off the floor. Then he comes back, and then a few weeks later, hiatus. I mean, this guy really needs to be on the floor to get fundamentals down. I watched him come into the game. Now, there were some anxiety. He was anxious, and he admits that he was a little, you know, it took him a little while to settle down. He was swiping at the ball. He relies on old habits. He's a super athletic guy that has gone very, very far relying on his athleticism to get him by. Now, he needs to learn how to stay low, stay wide, and defend the paint by being a deterrent. I'm not saying anything new here. Longtime listeners have heard me say these things before. And early in this game especially, I saw sort of remembering to keep his arms wide, not really staying as low as he should have been, not really sitting into his stance. He needs to be kind of like this coiled spring, and as a deterrent, keeping those arms wide, showing the ball handler that there's nowhere for him to go. If you see big arms wide, there's no passing lane, there's no driving lane. You really are, it's not just about blocking shots. You don't just defend the rim by blocking shots. You defend the rim by not even letting anybody by the rim. You know, he's not a bulletproof vest that you have to stop bullets by shooting them. You can stop by stopping the gun in the first place. You can stop the drive by preventing him from even getting into the lane, by showing him there's nowhere to get into the lane. By the time he gets into the lane, the offensive player, yeah, Robert Williams is athletic, and if he does things right, he can still be a deterrent and block shots and defend the rim in the more traditional way. But the fundamentals, they weren't quite there. Now, he got a little bit better as the game went on. And that really supports my point. He needs to play to get these things hammered into his head. He needs to play so he can remember, yes, when this happens, I've got to be here. I've got to be more vocal. I've got to make sure that I'm not swiping. I've got to make sure that I'm staying straight up. That if a pass comes up, you know, out of nowhere, that I'm in a position where I can quick jump and, you know, get a hand on it or impact where the guy's coming down the lane. So still, I'm happy, obviously, that Robert Williams had this performance. This was a good performance. It started slow, but it became a better performance. And the more that he got the ball and was finishing dunks, I think the more he was engaged on the defensive end. That's something that's natural and typical, especially of a young player. But he needs to really work on those fundamentals. I really question how much he did to actually earn minutes in future games here. Now, maybe he did, and I'll have to go back and rewatch to see exactly some of the things that I'm looking for here. But my first watch, my first, upon first glance, I saw a gradual kind of stepping into some of the things that he was supposed to do on the defensive end. On the offensive end, he was exactly what you want him to be. On offense, he was fine. He didn't get in the way. He didn't make bad passes. He set decent screens. Some of them could have been a little bit better. Some of them could have been at better angles. It's all about getting in and out of that screen as fast as possible so we can put that pressure on the rim, the vertical pressure on the rim, and then go up and catch those alley-oops, which he did do. And I think offensively, he was exactly or mostly what the Celtics want him to be. To be 7 of 7 with 6 dunks or 5 dunks and 1 layup, that's perfect. He doesn't have to score 18 points, but it's very easy for him to score 18 points because you just keep catching alley-oops. Again, this is against Brooklyn. And some of those defensive coverages that maybe he's not gonna see. But it's still a positive sign. And any positive results for Robert Williams go a long way. So I'm not crapping all over his performance here. I'm happy that he had this performance. I hope that this performance is something that is a stepping stone to the next good performance. Toronto is going to be much different than Brooklyn. But Toronto is also going to be an interesting situation for Brad Stevens because I don't know how playable Enes Kanter is against Toronto. I think Kyle Lowry is going to pick apart. They're just going to pick and roll him to death. If I'm Nick Nurse, I'm holding off on pulling Lowry out until I get some, or I pull him out early and then put him back in so he can get some pick and roll shots at Enes Kanter. Somehow I'm getting him matched up out there with Enes Kanter, and I'm putting Kanter in pick and roll, and I'm challenging this Celtics defense to stop that. And this is where Rob really can come in, because Grant Williams hasn't shown enough. He hasn't shown the ability to stop that. And if Robert Williams can be some of what he was in this game and improve on what he was in this game and defend that pick and roll and be a guy that can be a deterrent, that can stop Lowry from getting into the lane while still playing that positional defense where if Lowry decides to throw that lob, then that natural athletic ability takes over and Robert Williams can go up and deflect that pass or make it harder for whomever is supposed to catch that lob, harder for him to catch it. I say all this knowing that I'm hypercritical of Robert Williams, but it's only because I think Robert Williams can do a lot. I really do think he can do a lot. And him getting to that level helps the Celtics so much that anytime I see him out there and not doing it, I'm going to be extra critical of him because I think he can. That's how it is. I'm not going to be critical of Semi Ojeleye for not being able to do some of these things because we're seeing what he's capable of. You got to hold people to the level of what they're capable of. So Robert Williams is capable of a lot. He did plenty in this game and was very good for large portions of it, but he's capable of so much more. And so the Celtics need him to reach that so much more. So I think and I like Rob. I think as a person, he's genuine. He gives good answers. He really, like, he's honest when he answers the questions. I think he's a good person. I think he wants to do these things. I think he wants to be better. I think he listens to the coaches. He just needs that opportunity. I need an opportunity to get you to subscribe if you have not. If you're a new listener and you're just getting to the Locked On Celtics podcast, I hope that this podcast has been good enough for you to subscribe. I also hope that those of you who have will give me that 5-star rating and a good review. I really, really hope that all of you will go pre-order my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. That's coming out in December, but if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, search my name, search that title, Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, and you can pre-order the book so you can get it in time in December. We can talk about it when next season starts. So please go pre-order that. It's my first book. Might be my last book. I don't know. But it would be really awesome if you guys went and pre-ordered that. I'd really, really appreciate it. Also, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, which I co-host on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.